Everything's going to lift your cup up this morning.
Amen.
Amen. So let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
Amen.
Amen. We certainly want to remember all the fathers today. And so it's good to be with you. I went down to see my dad the last couple of days. Had a nice visit with him. And glad that the Lord gave us safe travels and kind of a whirlwind trip. But anyway, so I want to go ahead and get into the scriptures this morning. And so we can start reading. And she'll have it, but we're going to start reading in Romans chapter 8. Everybody remember that Ben Norr ought to be with us in a couple of weeks. Everybody be praying for that service, those services and that time on the Lord. Romans chapter 8, we'll begin reading at verse 14 and read through verse 17. And it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I will say this, that sometimes you're led by the Spirit of God and you don't know it."
Right, that's right.
You don't know that you are actually doing it, but it's actually Him. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." And then I want to read from Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. These are all familiar scriptures to each of us. And it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, "And because ye are sons," if anybody ever wants to talk to you about predestination, I love going to this spot. Because it doesn't say that you're sons because He sent that Spirit to you. But it says, because you are sons, God hath sent forth that Spirit to you. He has to, because that's what you are sons. So God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." And let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 16 through 20. "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man," because of this, is what He's saying, "because of this, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." I always thought it was interesting, and you probably heard me say this, God gave us two eyes, two ears, right, and one mouth.
That's right.
So let every man be slow to speak, right? Very quick to listen, very quick to look, to watch, but slow to speak.
Okay.
That's a good instruction for all of us. Let's just pray for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to take this time now that is before us and thank You for it. And Lord, just to put it into Your hands and ask God that You would have Your way now. We are Your children and Your sheep. Lord, You're the great shepherd. And we're all just surrendering to You and asking God that You'd be with us today and lead us and guide us and help us. We just want to love You, Lord, and we want to glorify You in everything that we do. And so we're asking, Lord, that You would just help us today as we surrender to You. Speak to our hearts, each one. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. So on Mother's Day, I talked to you about the gift of motherhood. So today I'm going to talk to you about the gift of fatherhood. And you know, to talk about fathers and fatherhood and what it means, you have to talk about sonship. Because that's, you can't have one without the other. They go hand in hand. And so we all know that Brother Branham told us that Mother's Day should be every day of the year. Amen? Yeah. But did you know he also said that Father's Day should be too? Father's Day should be every day of the year. And so I didn't hold you real long, or I held you a long time last week, so maybe I might not hold you a long time today. We'll see. Maybe. It's really not up to me, but anyway. So, Brother Graham tells us that Mother's Day and Father's Day both need to be every day of the year. And so, what is he talking about? Well, it's really just simply, now I want to present to you today that mothers, motherhood, fatherhood is a gift from God. Actually, each one of us is a gift from God, that we bear within ourselves a purpose that God sent us here. Purpose of something to accomplish that would be a gift to others. And so motherhood and fatherhood is a gift from God. And so really when Brother Ram's talking about it, is to recognize what mother is, recognize what father is, what their purpose is. Because if you look at it from the standpoint, if I come along and I'm saying, here, Brother Dan, and here's a gift. You know, generally when you give someone a gift, it's because you want to bless them with something. You want them to have what you're giving them. Yeah. It's not costing them. It's free. It's a gift, right? If Brother Daniel had to work for it, then it wouldn't be a gift.
Right.
But if I come and I give something, it's solely not because he wanted it, because he didn't know nothing about it. He didn't know it was coming. But because I would want to give him something, I would want him to be blessed and to obtain that which I give him, right?
Yeah.
So then I would just come along and I would give that to him so he could walk in the blessing of what it is I wanted him to have. So when we look at it from that standpoint, to realize that your parents, your mother and your father are a gift from God, you know, most of the time in this world we look at it and we think mom and dad's always on my case or whatever it is like that, but really that's wrong thinking. The right thinking is to recognize what that gift really is that God has sent to you that you might prosper by it, that you might go in the blessing of what that gift is that he has sent you.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it is. And so we always say that we want to look through God's eyes. I don't want to look at the promises of God through man's eyes and the way man thinks things should be, because you'll miss it altogether. I want to see it the way God intended it to be.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when the scripture says honor your father and your mother, it's the first commandment with promise, right? And it's because it says that your days may be long upon the earth. Well, there's a reason why God said that. And I want to see it that way. And so when he said that Mother's Day and Father's Day is to be every day of the year, he's talking about you recognizing what that gift is, recognize what that person is. And I will say this as we go a little bit further. When a mother is a good mother, what you're looking at is the attribute of God as a mother.
Right.
A mother will be a good mother when she's acting out the God part of what motherhood is. Same thing with a dad, a father. If he's a good dad, a good father, what you're seeing is him express the attributes of your heavenly father.
Yeah.
Right? And so so when you recognize that, you recognize what it is and realize, you know what, hey, this is not just somebody on my case. This is somebody God has sent to me to process me into this world and to tutor me and to teach me so that I could go on my way prosperous, happy, healthy, expressing things the way it should be.
Right?
But if Satan somehow tricks you and you look at that gift that God has put in your life and you count it as something evil, count it as something bad, there's no way you could go off into life blessed the way God intended for you to, because you got to receive that gift the way he sent it.
Right.
It's like a pardon. You got to receive it for what it is and before you can walk in the blessings of it. So you have to look at that and understand it for what it is, and don't let Satan cause you to look through man's eyes or Satan's eyes, but you want to always see it through what God intended, because that's the best thing you can do. And you remember, God always provides the best for you. He may take something from you, But and send you down a road you don't want to go. But because he's God, because he's infinite, because he knows the end from the beginning, he knows you, created you, knows all about you, because he does that, that's what's best for you. Not what you wanted, but what he sent you to.
Yeah.
And from that standpoint, when you look at it that way, every event that you have in your life, good or bad, was ordained of God. Because
right.
he could stop those things, but he didn't.
Right.
And he'll send you down a pathway that you may not want to go, but I can tell you, if you catch the revelation of who your Father is and why he sends you down that road, you'll know that you're going to be a better person when it's all over and done with. But for a time, you may think it's bad. But that's why it's important to see it, what it is, and receive it for what it is. And so we should honor fathers and mothers. And the best way to honor that is just receive it for what it is and let it be what it is. See, you see, when a mother is expressing the attributes of mother, and sometimes that's correction, sometimes that's spankings, sometimes that's saying no. And that mother's not doing that just because she wants to be a bad person, she wants to ruin your day. She's doing that because there's an attribute of God in her that is mother, that dictates to her that that's what she has to do in those times. Sometimes that anointing of God in her has to say no, has to spank your bottom. The same way with your dad. Your dad is, when you say, "Dad, I want to borrow the keys to the truck," and your dad says no, it's not because he don't want you to have the truck. Because believe me, a good dad wants to see his children prosper. He wants to see them able to drive that truck to town and not worry about things.
Right.
That's what he really wants. So there's something in him that desires to see that son or that daughter come to maturity.
Yeah.
That's what they want. But there's something else there, another law of God that office of being a dad that has to say no sometimes, that has to correct, that has to make harsh things happen sometimes. It's not because that your father wants you to have a bad time. He's wanting you to have a good experience down the road.
That's right.
But it's Satan's job to make you think while you're going through it that they don't love you and that kind of thing. And so the best way to give honor to your father and your mother, which will result in long days, says the scripture, the best way to do that is just to recognize that and let it be that. Let that parent heap upon you the gifts that they want to heap upon you and help you, but also at the same time, let them correct you when it's time. I don't know any child that wouldn't take a candy bar or an ice cream from a parent. Here, I want you to have this ice cream on you. Yeah, give me that. But when it comes time to hand out correction or spankings, they don't want that. You see what I mean? And it's the same thing with God. We all want to come here and, we want to experience the presence of God, and we want to see him heal, and we want to see him deliver and all that kind of stuff. But what about when he wants to spank you?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And so the best thing to do is just let that gift be what it is. Now, the scripture says, we read it there in James, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Every good gift, not some gifts, a few gifts, most gifts, every good gift cometh down from above.
Right?
And don't let the devil tell you, this is better, this is a gift for me, and this is better for me. If it didn't come from God, it's not a good gift.
Right.
Because the scripture says every good gift, every perfect gift, cometh down from above. And we're talking about Father's Day. In order to know about fathers, you got to talk about sonship and the relationship between fathers and sons, or fathers and daughters, right? And so our Heavenly Father sends down perfect gifts. Jesus said, if your child asks you for a piece of bread, you're going to give him a stone?
Mm-hmm.
Ask you for a fish, you're going to give him a serpent, right? No. He said, so if you being just human being, just who you are, if you can give good gifts to your children, then how much your Heavenly Father, how much will he give to you that which is good to you if you ask him for it? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so every good gift You know, your earthly father, your earthly dad, father, you know, he's the one that brought this flesh, him and your mother. He processed this into the world. And he interacts with you through this. But inside of this, this flesh, inside of this dad standing there to correct you or to bless you, and this, and inside you, inside your flesh, is the plan of God being developed. Because your heavenly Father gives you the body that you're going to live in through eternity. Your earthly dad gives you the body you're going to live in while here, right? But your spiritual father gives you that. And so while we're acting out these natural things, what's supposed to be going on inside is that spiritual being that you're going to be from is forming and growing into the likeness of his heavenly Father, right? But it's all being acted out by us in the natural. And so every good gift comes down from above, and the scriptures is telling us there, don't be deceived to think something different. It all comes from God if it's good. And so if God's going to give you something, it's going to be a blessing.
That's right.
And so it's meant to be a blessing to the receiver. So I kind of looked up the definition of father, and I just Googled it, and it come right up, and I just read it there. And so I want to tell you, now there's different aspects of it, but the part that applies to what we're talking about this morning is what I'm going to read to you. The definition of father is the originator and transmitter of anything. The authors of a family or society of persons animated by the same spirit as himself. One who has infused his own spirit into others, who activates and governs their minds. And so if you think about that, so the father, the definition of father, is the originator that sends forth something, and he sends himself in that something. That something that goes forth has the same spirit, same mind as he does. Right?
Right.
If it doesn't, then it's not his child. Think about it.
Right.
Now, we try to think about it in an earthly standpoint, but this earthly, you know, this is the negative. I'm talking about the earthly, the mom and dad and all that. That's just the negative. But the positive is the spirit realm of who we are in our heavenly Father. And that's the true. And so when he sends forth us, he goes in us. That's why Jesus could say, I and my Father are one. When you've seen him, you have seen me. Right? Because if Jesus came with a different idea or a different thought than his heavenly Father, he was not in unity with the Father. Well, there'd be division and all kinds of disagreements, and nothing would work, right? But Jesus came in perfect unity with his Father. He, as a man, had to grow into that, right? But he grew into being that perfect expression. He was ordained to be that. Couldn't be anything else. But in a human form, he had to grow into that maturity level and become that perfect expression of his heavenly Father. And he wasn't acting out anything contrary to what Father's will was.
Yeah.
But he, as a man, had to say, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But it wasn't the Father's will that cup pass.
Right.
So he said, nevertheless, not my will, not me as a human, my will, but thy will be done.
Yeah.
And this is what we are to come to. This is what we, as children of God, are to come to, is to come to the place where we are that perfect expression, where we do not disagree with our Heavenly Father in any way whatsoever. That means we cannot deny any portion of his word, because that's who he is. He is his word, and so he sends us forth as the originator. He sends us forth, and he goes in us. As Brother Ram said, the Holy Spirit that sent him went in him, right?
Yeah.
And that's exactly right. So a father is the originator, but you have to realize we're talking about sonship. The son is a perfect example of the father once he comes to maturity,
yeah,
has to grow into it. So he goes into this in with the same spirit, in oneness with the Father, to accomplish what the Father wants. So when I said fatherhood, I was thinking this, and you know, you have to realize I just kind of say things the way it comes in my mind. But you know what? You know what a hood is? You got a hood to your car. You got a hood you put over your head. Yeah. Hood is a covering.
Yeah.
Fatherhood. So what's he covering? What's the father covering? Mm-hmm. And a covering is a protection. You have a hood on your car to protect your car from rain and all that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's important that that engine not get water in it and that kind of stuff, right? So you have a hood for protection.
That's right.
Fatherhood. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want my dad telling me what to do. Then you're rejecting your protection.
Right?
Right? Fatherhood. Now I'm telling you how to honor your father today. Mm-hmm. Not just your earthly dad, but your heavenly father. So a father, a hood protects, and then when we talk about fatherhood, we talk about sonship, okay? And you think about relationship, because a son's supposed to have a relationship with his father, and what is that relationship? Unity. Unity, not disagreement, unity. To go forth in the same life of his life, gene of his gene, mm-hmm. has to be in unity.
Yeah.
At least growing into unity at some point. And so, but a ship is something you put cargo in and you send it somewhere.
Yeah.
This is just my thought on it, okay, that part. So what is it? The life that was in the Father, he puts into the Son, and the Son goes forth with that same life, taking it somewhere to accomplish something. Mm-hmm. See? So it's a fatherhood and sonship relationship. And this is why, now Father is your originator. This is why Jesus said, call no man on earth your father. Now put that in the right context, okay? Because he was not talking about your earthly dad.
Right?
Right? He wasn't talking about that. Mm-hmm. I've been guilty of saying, don't even call your dad your father. But, you know, there's other scriptures. Honor your father and your mother, right? And his father and his mother. So he's not talking about it, but in the context of the scriptures. And you see where Jesus was doing that, was talking about that. He was talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and how that the religious leaders, they love to have the high seats in the place of worship, and they love to be called master, and they love to be called rabbi. And he said, don't do that.
Right.
They love these high names, mm-hmm. right? Because these people were in positions of spiritual influence. And your spirit, your dad, your earthly dad is not your spiritual originator. Your heavenly father is your spiritual originator. Mm-hmm. See? And so Jesus is just simply laying down a truth there that all lines us up into the correct revelation, and that is that God is my father. He's the originator. I'm going forth with his anointing. Right? I might be here on earth, and I might have an earthly dad who's correcting me and guiding me and helping me and teaching me, but inside me is that gift of God as a child of God sending me forth to be a representation of my heavenly Father. So don't call any man on earth your spiritual originator, because he's not, right? So it's okay to say, this is my Father. As the natural originator. But don't ever apply to any man your spiritual originator, because God is your Father.
Amen.
And that's the positive. This is the negative.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's why you don't want to call any man on earth Father. And Brother Branham, now that's in the scriptures. That's the context that Jesus was using in the scripture. And I looked it up every time that I could find that Brother Branham addressed that right there. And he did the same.
Yeah.
He said, he even talked about you Pentecostals. And you go around and you say, getting together with Episcopalians and with the Catholics and all that, and you're calling them Father.
Yeah.
And he said, don't you know that our Bible says don't do that? And he said, you go ahead and do it anyway because it's popular.
Right.
Because it's accepted.
Right.
But it's wrong.
Right.
And you say, well, what's the harm in it? Well, because you get yourself in something like that, and You get yourself over into a complete total anointing, and if you can just walk over one portion of the Word of God, you'll walk over the rest of it.
Yeah.
Take a little something. And, you know, and so it comes to mind right now as I say this, and I was pondering on this earlier, that, you know, the Scripture said Jesus learned he obedience by the things he suffered. Mm-hmm. Right? And I know... I could look back on my life and can say, well, I didn't come through the best circumstances. I didn't. A lot of us didn't. But I wouldn't change it for one thing. Because I know that going through all those things that I suffered has molded me to make me what I am today. And it has equipped me to be able to say something to people in a way that I couldn't otherwise. Because when you suffer things, like Brother Branham and his daughter with the cross eyes, that empowered him to go out with a greater anointing to pray for the cross-eyed people or children.
Yeah.
And so when you suffer things, you're learning obedience. What you're learning, coming into that image spiritually that you're supposed to be. But a lot of the things that brings you to that is things you suffer naturally, but it's a type. And it's in those natural sufferings, it's molding and making character in you spiritually.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about. And so, if you can't be obedient to your parents in the natural, you certainly won't be to your spiritual parent. If you can't be faithful in little something in this natural life, how are you going to be faithful with it in spiritual things?
Yeah.
God has given us this natural life, and what do we do with it? And if we can't be faithful with this natural life, I don't think he'll commit much to us in the spirit realm either.
Yeah.
Right? There are spiritual things that we are to be on top of, but most of our battles, when it comes to being good spiritual Christians, most of the battle has to do with the flesh.
Right.
So it's through the struggles of the flesh that we're learning how to be very effective spiritual Christian beings going forth in the anointing of our Father. As Jesus did it, we do it.
Yeah.
Learn things by what we suffer. And so... we have this relationship as sons with our Father. Once you learn and recognize this relationship, with your natural dad or with Heavenly Father, once you learn that, now you can enter into that relationship properly. And you know that this is a gift from God. You know that this is maybe my earthly dad, or you know that the Word of God is where you originated. And you come from. Then don't fight against it. Because this is the being that brought you here. Both natural and spiritually. This is the one who brought you here. And that person loves you more than anybody else. That person and your mom. Your mom and dad. They love you more than anybody else. In the natural. The Lord Jesus Christ in the spirit. They'll do more for you than anybody else. They'll dig down for you when nobody else will. Why? Because that's who they are. That's what's in them. They can't do anything else. They just have to do that. But they also have to spank you sometimes. And they can't help it. They have to, because when you look at the description of parents, of mom and dad, and it says thus, 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 in there is a description that says they have to spank you sometimes. But it also says in there that they love you more than anybody else, and they'll do more for you than anybody else. And they'll be with you all the days of your life until God takes them. And they'll be that gift that God sent them to be all those days. And your blessing is to enter into that relationship and draw those benefits even till they're laying on their last few breaths. Mom and Dad can be that gift to you and instill things to you, wisdom to you, character to you. And it'll be that way always. But you know, it lies within you as to how much of that gift you go with. How much blessing you receive, how much tutorship you receive, and what kind of maturity and what you become in life. You're the one that has most to do with that. Because you have the free moral agent to accept it or to reject it.
Right.
It's there for you. And you want to accept it as much as you can and let it have its place. And so once you recognize that relationship, now you can let that relationship, that fatherhood, you can let that hood overshadow you and protect you and impart to you wisdom and impart to you strength and all kinds of character all the days of your life. Even if you're a grown man, 70 years old, you can go to your 90-year-old dad and say, "Dad, I got a problem. Can you help me?" And I guarantee he'll be able to. Because this whole arrangement is not man, it's God. This is the way it's supposed to be. So when you say my father, you're talking about a serious relationship you're talking about. You're talking about the one that processed you here, the one you go to when you need help, and the one that you know that God has arranged that this is my source that I go to for life's journey. That I'll always, as I go and I come into a problem, I always go back in the natural to my earthly dad, but I always go back to my Heavenly Father because that's who brought me here and He's the source of wisdom for me, and I'm going forth in His name, in His life, just the same as He is, and I don't know what to do. I'm going to go to Him and find out what He wants, what He says over this matter, and I'm going to go with that. And especially when you run into a situation where you and your earthly dad don't know, you definitely want to go to your Heavenly Father, right? Because He can straighten it out when you don't know what to do.
Right.
So you can enter into this relationship and let your Father. And you know what? Once you do that, once you realize that life that's in you and it wants to go back to Father and have that fellowship, that interaction. When that's happening, that father's happy because he's being dad. He's able to express all those gifts and those attributes of God. And he's not tore up all the time because his children don't want nothing to do with him. Or they don't want to listen to his instructions. He's not tore up. He's happy to express what God is in him as a father because he sees that instruction going out. And he sees that child prosper by that which he has helped him with and becoming a great person. By what that was, and he's happy that way, see? But it's when you reject those things that mom and dad become tore up because you're not walking in the blessings and the counsel of mom and dad, see? And so when that happens, when you recognize that and you enter into that, then you realize that what's in you is a spirit that cries, Abba, Father. Right? When you have that in you, when that spirit is coming to you from your father, it cries back, Abba, Father. When it comes into you, it doesn't tell you to go off and forget dad and forget mom. It doesn't tell you that. When that spirit that comes from your originator that comes into you, if it comes into you like it's supposed to and Satan hasn't done something to mess with it, that spirit will cry, Abba, Father. In other words, it's got that relationship. It'll always go back and there'll always be that fellowship between Father and Son because the Scripture tells us here that when we receive that, it's crying, Abba, Father. See what I mean? But we have a society today that's built in such a way that they don't understand none of that. Just a small degree while a little bitty child, but they can't even get up about 8 or 9 years old, and the way society looks at it, then that whole relationship's gone. They don't promote it. They want to tell you that this child can go do whatever and he don't have to have nothing to do with parent what their instructions are. Let that child do what they want to do. Let them decide what gender they are. See what I mean? That's what they do. But the best thing is to get back to the Bible. I was telling the man yesterday morning, get back to that original word. You want the original results.
Right.
I went to breakfast with my dad at the church they had, and I was talking to different ones there, and I was telling them what I know to tell them, you know. I mean, here's what it is.
Yeah.
It's amazing how the Lord leads you to some people that's got questions.
Yeah.
And he led me to one, or well, that man come to me before anything, and right off the bat, he said something about, he's talking about seminaries. He said, cemeteries. I said, yeah, that's right. And before it's over with, he's talking about Godhead.
Yeah.
The struggle he'd had with Godhead, Trinity or oneness, you know, and all that. He come to me just right off the bat. Come in, got a cup of coffee, went over, sit down. He got a come over, sit down at the table, looked at me, started asking me questions about things that was on my, you know, on my fork. Started in the natural, wanting to know if I had it, if I knew anything about acoustics, you know, sound stuff. And went, you know, and every question he was asking me, it's like, where'd this guy come from, you know? But it's the footsteps of the righteous order of the Lord. He brings these things together.
That's right.
You know, and so we have a spirit within us that cries, Abba, Father, because we recognize who our source is and that fellowship that there. If something gets in the way of that, it's not of God.
Yeah, right.
You've got to recognize these gifts that come from God that are perfect. And receive them for what they are and go away blessed when you receive what they are.
Yeah.
Have that proper interaction with them. But you know, since they are what they are and they come from God and they are perfect, you know Satan's going to try to stop it.
Right.
And bring confusion between there. So you have that spirit, you're going to go back to Father and crying, Abba, Father. He's going to have that reciprocation with you. And this is where we find our identity. This is where we find out where we come from, why we're here, what our purpose is, and where we're going. It means a whole lot to understand what your spiritual pedigree is. Right?
Yep.
It means a lot to know that you're not made up of a conglomeration of mixture of man's teaching and God's teaching. It's important to know who your daddy is.
Yeah.
Because then you can have confidence in knowing here. It's like the slave, you know, that we tell the story. Brother Branham tells a story about the slave that was conducting himself better than everybody else. Now, he was a slave. He was here in a situation that was not ideal. But that didn't make no difference. He was conducting himself like a king's son because his daddy was a king and he knew he was a king's son, no matter what. And we understand that concept. We're here in this earth, and not everything's always ideal for us, but we should conduct ourselves as sons and daughters of the King because our Father is King, and we have that blood, that royal blood in our spiritual veins, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
We have that. And so what coming to maturity means is that we begin to learn to have that self-control and that discipline and that character of Father, that even when they're pulling the beard out of your face, you don't open your mouth sometimes.
Yeah.
That character can be there and be what's first rather than circumstances. And so this is where we find out who we are. And this is where we find out what the reward is that's coming to us. But you know, the scripture said, if you receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. Well, who was the only righteous man that ever lived? And what was his reward? And the sure mercies of David. The grave could not hold him there because of who he was. And the scripture said, if we'll receive him in his name, not in the name of another, but in his name, then we'll receive that righteous man's reward. In other words, the grave cannot hold us.
Yeah.
The grave cannot hold us because we have received him and his, you know, says if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. Do you know what that is? To be friends with a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
That may not mean a whole lot to a lot of people, but it does to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because in that dimension, they told Brother Branham, all that you've loved and all that's ever loved you, I've given to you here. Mm-hmm. Do you love him?
Yeah.
See what I mean? Then we can say, you know what? I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
If that's the only thing I can come up with, which was plenty, I'm just saying, but if that's the only thing, you can say, well, I love this man. I never met him, but I love the character that I see there and so forth.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he loved me.
Right.
All right? And so I know that God's given us to be there underneath that messenger in that dimension.
Yeah.
But so this is where we know we have a reward of the righteous coming to us. So that life that was in the Father, that character that was in the Father, that domain, that those possessions of the universe or whatever that was in the Father, now is we know that's ours. And the scripture tells us that we're going to be heir to these things, right?
That's right.
We know that. Why? Because we're walking in the same spirit of the Father. And it's not going to leave the family. The possessions of the universe is not going to leave the family of God and go to someone else. Right? Because the possession, the inheritance always stayed with the family.
Yeah.
So God will give it to his children, and nobody else is going to have it. Nobody else is going to inherit these things, because only the family of God can come up in the resurrection and be on that mountain and be in rulership and ruling and reigning with him. So his reward is with you. This is absolutely required. Now, I've already mentioned this. It's absolutely required that the Son, when he go forth, he be in oneness with the Father. To grow into strength and grow into, you're learning how to grow into becoming that, to believe the truth, to be the truth, to flesh out truth, just to be a full expression of that Heavenly Father. You have to grow into that and learn that. And that's what we're here for. And so when you do that, once you do that, then comes adoption. And adoption is, like I said a while ago, when you come to the place where you've got the wisdom of the Father, you've got the self-control of the Father, you've got the character of the Father, and you're going to act like the Father would. But when that comes, then you come to adoption, then you don't need the Father to stand there and watch over you anymore. And you know how kids are. Kids want freedom. They want parents to let them go and say, I'm big enough, I'm mature enough, I can do, and you don't have to watch me, just let me do what I want because, you know, I'm not going to do something I shouldn't, and they want that freedom. But they can't have that freedom until the parents come to the place where the parents are saying, they got it.
Right.
When the parent says, that's my son, I know he won't do wrong, I know he'll do what's right. And so when that time comes, then that child is brought to adoption, brought to authority, brought to the place where now he doesn't have to have the father watching over him anymore. The father says, there you are, son. Tells the people, lifts him up, puts him on a high place in the city, wraps him in a white robe and says, this is my son. Now, when he writes a check, it's me.
Yeah.
Fill it out. And the daddy walks away and he goes back to the farm and kicks his feet up on the front porch with his glass of sweet tea. And the son goes and runs the farm. And daddy's not going, I wonder what he's out there doing. No, dad's not doing that. You know why? Because the child's come to the maturity already and has now come to adoption.
Yeah.
He's now got authority. So I want to say it this way. You know why the dad's not scrutinizing and watching over him anymore? Because the dad's in him. That oneness, he's grown to maturity till the oneness, till the image of the Father is now in the Son perfectly. So he doesn't have to have scrutiny because now it's in him. And so that's when the Father's in him. And so when Jesus said, and in that day, you'll know that I'm in you and you're in me. What's he talking about? Talking about coming to a place in maturity where he moves into us into an hour where he can say, what do you want? Speak what you will. All right?
Yeah.
Now, that's third pull. So third pull actually has to do with unity with our Father. Third pull has to do with Father and Son and adoption. Right? And the scripture said, you've not received the spirit of fear. Right? But you've received the spirit of adoption, and that spirit of adoption knows who he is and knows what's going on, and that spirit of adoption cries out to Abba Father. That spirit of adoption wants to come to maturity, but it also recognizes the source of tutorship and the source of responsibility and what its purpose is. And so it cries out, Abba Father. And so this is the place where you come to the place where he says, ask what you will and it'll be given. And Brother Branham went through that in his own life in the third pool. He experienced that where the Lord said, ask what you will. Or what do you want? Speak. How many squirrels? I love that story about the squirrels because that third squirrel, Brother Branham said, well, I'm going to make this one ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Now you could say, oh, you're tempting God. No. God had said, there you are.
Yeah.
So he said, well, I'm just to prove and show this, I'm going to make it ridiculous. This squirrel's going to come running down off that hill right there and go out there and sit on that limb and look at that farmer over there.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes the squirrel running down through there, walk, go out on the limb and start looking at the farmer.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Why could he do that? He could have said, I want the squirrel to run down there. I want him to go around the tree 8 times. I want him to turn around and look at me and do a little jig like this.
Yeah.
And the squirrel would have done it. Why? I'm not trying to be funny, but to get that to you. But why? Because he had come to that place. He had come to that place of adoption. Ask what you will. You speak to the storm. He didn't tell him what to say. Brother Ramson could have told the storm at clouds. He said, I want you to fly all together into one square box and hang there for 4 days for everybody to look at. He could have done it. So my point is there is that this only happens as a result of the tutorship and coming into unity with the Father. And that's why I said this is so important, because you'll never be that if you're not in unity with the Father.
That's right.
And no father should give you the blessings of rulership if you haven't come through the tutorship and come to the maturity level.
Right.
And as you get older, and should be gaining these things under your belt, if you don't have them, he should start cutting off blessings from you and start strengthening his correction to you until you do understand. Right? And he will. Because he's daddy and he knows where you should be and you're not there, and he's going to come down on you like a ton of bricks if he has to. And you know what? Better that than to go into life blamelessly. Better that God come down hard on us at the end time and get us in line with the character that's in him than to let us go off into eternity lost with no character. No ruling ability, even if we were his children, but just couldn't come up the mountain, be on top. See what I mean? It's better to be corrected than him just let it go. And so this is what we're talking about, coming to a place of adoption, of maturity. And so when we're going through the tutorship, the Father is interacting with us, trying to get us to come forward in he's being Father. And you're the child. So while it's happening, the scripture says that the child is no different than a servant. No different than a servant. Now, we are children of God, and if we had our way, we'd be speaking worlds into existence, and every time somebody was sick, we could speak, and the cancers would go away, and oh, it'd just be awesome, but it don't come that way. We think, you know, that's the way we would have it. But the scripture says for a while, until we come to that place of adoption, we're no different than the servants. So even though we're family of God, and it is our inheritance to speak worlds into existence and go live on them, so to speak, even though that's our inheritance, Father's saying, but I can't let you have that right now. You've got to sit right down here, and you've got to be among the people who are not going to receive that. And the limitations that they have, you have to have. See what I mean? You got to walk and rub shoulders in a job day in and day out with people see what I mean? Just like servants, but it's through you humbling yourself to Father, because you know he could exalt you out of that if he wanted to, but for some reason he's got us walking this walk with a bunch of heathens. So as long as that's happening, I'm going to walk like a son of a king, because I am. Knowing that someday, when I have the character in me that matches him, he'll bring me up out of this.
Right.
But until that time happens, I'm no different than the servants.
Yeah.
Right? So while he's tutoring you, you're no different than servant. And he will test you, and he will try you, and he will test you, and he will try you. He doesn't walk up to the child and give you the 12th grade graduation test right off the bat. He gives you a little and tests you. Gives you a little and tests you. And as you're growing a little more, he tests you a little more. And a little bit more, and he'll test you a little more. And we have tests, and we have trials, and we have tests, and we have trials. And that's what they're there for. And every one of them is building character in you.
Yeah.
Now, I might miss something with my kids, but he doesn't. And when he's got you going through something, he knows what he's doing, and you are going to walk out better when it's over with than you did before you went into it. Because he is, so he will test you and try you, and you will learn obedience through the things you suffer. And in this natural body that's going on, that spiritual life is forming, that character is forming, that's going to live forever. But it's through natural sufferings, sorrows, and things like that. Jesus had to do it. All the prophets and apostles, they all went through it. Christians throughout ages, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Hey, I don't like sitting down and having to tell somebody they're wrong and they're Godhead. But you got to. You know what I mean? Might get you some persecution. Well, most of the time it does. So he will tutor you and test you and try you. And while that's going on, it may seem like forever. I remember when I was, I don't know what grade I was in, but I was looking forward to the time I was going to graduate, 12th grade. It was years down the road. And it seemed like it was going to take forever for me to get there. And we rode a bus, I don't know, probably 40, 45 minutes. Maybe it wasn't that about how long the bus ride was around on dirt roads, and then hot, and the wind was down, and dust, every time they'd stop, the dust would flood the bus. They didn't have air conditioning in them, you know. And that fumes from the exhaust, and I remember sitting in there day in and thinking, is this ever going to quit, you know? Will I ever get there? It seemed like forever, but you know what? Before I could graduate, I had to go through all that. Right? Before I could stand here today and say to you what I'm saying to you today, I had to go through things I went through growing up. I had to go through trials. Everything that I've ever had happen has helped me, and everything that you have will equip you to be able to help somebody. And so, it may seem like forever, but I want to say this. No son ever chooses the day of his adoption. You don't choose it. That's why a parent shouldn't say to a child, and if you've been guilty of this, I'm sorry, but a parent shouldn't say, now do you want this punishment or do you want this one? Because you know which one the child's going to pick. They're always going to pick. Now there might be a few cases of stubborn children, because I heard some here the other day, but just give me the whipping. So, but you know what I mean. You know, a child can, but the child usually chooses something, and I guess this is true, what I'm going to say here. The child will choose something that he will see to be the least for him, least problem for him. So if that child says you can either have a whipping or you can be grounded for 3 days. If he really wants to be out there playing, he'll say, give me the whipping. But he's deducting his mind like, well, I don't want to be stuck in here all day. I'll take the whipping. Mm-hmm. But now, if you said you can either have 3 days of being grounded in the house, or I'm gonna cut your leg off, he'd probably choose the grounding. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you don't ask a child now how many licks do you want when I whip you? You don't ask that. You don't say to the child, what's your punishment going to be? Right. You don't do that. Because the child will never learn the lesson if that's the case. And so, no child is going to say, okay, Dad, I'm there. I'm ready for adoption. Give me the keys to the truck. Mm-hmm. Wrong answer. It's not up to you. It's not up to us when God changes our body. It's not up to us to say, Lord, I've been through enough down here. I'm ready. Sorry, it don't work that way. He's the one. Because chances are when you say, because remember, he knows what's in you, and he knows what you can handle, and he's not going to take you more than you can handle, right? But there's many times we say, I've had enough. I can't take no more, Lord. And he says, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Because he looks at you and he knows you're not ready. You are not ready to have spoken word in your mouth. Right? And you can go in your life and feel ever so spiritual. And you say, man, I've had a good week. I've been walking with the Lord. And I've overcome all these battles. And you're thinking, man, I'm doing great. And then something happens. And next thing you know, you've said something that you know you shouldn't have said. Or said it in a way. Or done it in retaliation to what somebody's done to you wrong. And then you go, man, I thought I had got somewhere. What? You weren't there yet. See what I mean? And so we don't know when we're there yet. But he does. See? Now I'm talking about fatherhood. He's the one that knows. He's the one that knows when you're ready for these things. And now I'm talking about sonship. the one who will submit to him happily and continue to learn and be tutored by Father until Father says it's time. Right? That's the relationship. And so, the son does not choose the day of his adoption, but the nearest way that you can choose the day of your adoption is for you to buckle down and get down to business and learn what that Father's trying to teach you. That's the best thing you can do.
Right.
Amen? That'll work more toward getting you graduated than anything else.
Right.
So Brother Branham comes along and he says, the Holy Spirit is your tutor. And he says, the Holy Spirit will go back to God and say to God, give report to God of your character, of what his sons and his daughters are doing. How many members hearing him say that? He said, the Holy Spirit will come back up there and he'll say, Father, he's just like you. Mm-hmm. Or Master, he's just like you. And you say, well, I thought the Father and the Holy Spirit were the same. It is. He is. But he can, you know, you can, if you were God, you could say to yourself, make a mistake, and you have to die for it. And then you can turn around and step right down there, you know, and take that death for humanity and still be the same person. In other words, God can act out all the parts, all the offices, and never miss a lick, never do anything wrong. We can't do that. We're not, but so you understand. The Holy Spirit, being the same Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit can come back to him and say, oh, your children, man, they're not doing too good. Brother Rabbit illustrated it kind of like this. He said, your daughters down there, they're putting makeup on, they're cutting their hair, they're wearing immoral clothes. Holy Spirit going back and reporting back, because the Father wants to exalt that child into authority and bring them to his adoption. And so the Father, God, does his own program. So his own program says, I've got to have tutors. So he sends you tutors, preachers, Holy Spirit gospel ministry, Holy Spirit ministering to you through preachers, through life experiences, through all kinds of things. He's ministering all that to you that you can grow to that point where he's ready. And that Holy Spirit comes back to him and says, and gives a report. That's what Brother Ram said.
Right.
So that's the way it is, see? And so he comes back and says, man, your daughters, they're cutting their hair, they're doing this, they're doing that. Your sons, they're smoking cigarettes or telling dirty jokes. They're taking a creed or a dogma instead of truth. They're not doing too good. Right? So the scriptures let us know that in that case like that, what's God do? God would say, okay, go back down there and teach them some more. Go back there and work with them some more. Send them some more preachers. Send some more hard knocks. Let's let them have some more trials. So that through the things they suffer, see, so the Father, no, that's my child. I'm going to keep working with him. Right?
Yeah.
And so he'd come back and say, they're just not doing too good. They're not taking this end time message. They're not listening to the tapes. They're not reading their Bible and praying every day. They're spending too much time doing frivolous stuff, too much time on social media. They're doing all that. What's the Father going to say?
Right.
Well, they're not ready yet.
Right.
Now we're sitting down here. When you going to get me out of this, Father? Right? That's what we're doing. When are you going to do that? But it's obvious that if we spend all our time doing things beside the things we should, we're not ready yet. We're not serious yet. So the Father says, okay, I'm not rapturing nobody this week. Send them some more preachers. Let them have a few more trials.
Yep.
See what I'm saying? There's that reciprocation that's going on. And I tell you, we're far enough along that that's exactly what's going on. Right? Everything else has done panned out, and God's just waiting for the maturity of the bride. That's right. So that's all we're going. We're just learning to grow into that image of our Heavenly Father. And so this is where we are. So he says, go down there and let's tutor them some more.
Yeah.
But you know, Brother Brown said that the Pentecostals would never come to adoption. Pentecostal church, Pentecostal believers, they wouldn't come to adoption. Because why? They refuse to take the tutorship and leadership. They refuse to grow to that maturity level that warrants giving them authority. God will not give it to them.
Yeah.
Right? He can't give it to Luther. He can't give it to Wesley. Couldn't even get to the Pentecostals. And that's who Brother Ram was speaking to. But he was telling them. But here's the concept. Why? Why? He's a Heavenly Father. He wants them to have it. Why will he not give it to them? Because they aren't taking that relationship and that tutorship seriously and growing into that maturity as he works with them.
Right.
They're not. And if they never come to that place, he'll never give them that adoption. So I had a little quote here. Brother Bram was saying, he said, the sons and daughters need to come to adoption. This isn't hear ye him. He says, but how can the church, the Pentecostal church and the Methodist and Baptist churches be adopted until they come to discipline? We've got to be disciplined first. God could not trust his power with the church. It's hard to tell what you would do. How could the father trust his business with his boy that might simply pollute his whole inheritance? Well, he couldn't do it. And the church has got to come to the place where it's discipline, God's, and he said, God's on that work right now. Discipline. So Brother Branham even identified there in his own ministry that that's what God was doing. God is, he's on that right now, bringing discipline to his church. And that's where it is, to take the voice of God and let it discipline our lives through the word, through the message, through our prayer life, through Holy Spirit fellowship with God in all those manners, for it to mold and make us character. Because if we're doing that, it's going to be harder for us to fly off the handle at somebody. If we're doing that, it's going to be harder for us to work a deal that's not right.
Right.
See what I mean? Because walking with him, it's hard to do those things when you're in fellowship with him. And so he said that Pentecostals, in another quote, he said that men, they can't come to adoption. And you see he talks about it there. But I want more than just to be saved, saints. God, hasn't God put in your heart to say, you know what, I don't want to just be saved. I mean, that's wonderful too. But I don't want to just be saved because I don't feel like that my life would glorify God as much as I could just to be saved. I have something in me that wants to see God glorified. And it's not that I want to be an authority and I want to stand on a throne and I want to say give out judgment. It's not that. That's not what's in our heart. Right? But we want to see the manifestation of Christ in this hour brought forth. And it just so happens that the manifestation of Christ in this hour coming forth now, that's exactly what it is. What? A people that, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Right? That's the promise to this age, to the Laodicea, and we being overcomers to this age. That's why there's a cry in our heart, because he puts in our heart what he's going to do, and then he performs what he puts in our heart once we seek him and follow him for that. So that's why it's there. So I don't want to just be saved. I want to see God glorified. I want to see adoption in the midst of his people, where that Christ, that Father that has sent us forth, that he's got sons and daughters standing here expressing that perfectly in adoption. That's what I want to see. So the best way to honor your father is to let him be father. Let him correct you. Let him bless you. Let him mold and make in you so that he sends his own spirit and his own life in you, that you can go forth in the same strength and power that he is. Because that's what he wants to do. That's the best way to honor your father. And in the natural, same thing. In the natural, to let father be father. Let him teach you, instruct you. He wants to see you be able to rebuild a 350 Chevrolet engine. He wants you to be able to do that. Can you catch that? A dad wants to see a son know how to do things. And a mom wants to see a daughter be an awesome cook and a good mother and all those things. It's just built in. And if you're not doing that, it bothers parents when they're not doing those things. And so that's why they instill and try and work and tutor and so forth. And so the best way is to let him be father. Let him be father. Let him live in you. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit live in you and be God. And so, you know, we say it all the time, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Did you realize, that's just the way I see it now, let this mind be in you. So this mind has come along, the mind of Christ is coming in and is trying to get in. Let it come in. You're the hindrance. See what I mean? You're the hindrance because he wants in there. To be in, let this mind be in you that was in Christ, who, being in the form of God, now wait a minute, how can we have the mind of Christ to be in the form of God unless that's what God's doing? See what I mean? That's what God is doing. He's come down and said, I want to be here and I want to visit this earth and I'm doing it in you. And guess what? You're now in my form. But he knows that we struggle with that. So he has to say, let this mind be in you, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I've said this before. We've got to come to that understanding to realize that it's not robbery for us to think that I am Christ to this generation and he wants to do miraculous things and touch this generation through my life. It's not robbery. But to have that, it brings a humility. To humble yourself, what? Humble yourself to the tutorship of Father. Even if that means you have to walk up Calvary. Because that's what Jesus did. He humbled himself. He had that mind. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But humbled himself and became obedient even to the cross, even to the death of the cross is what the scripture said. He became obedient to that. And that's what he's called us to do. So I'm not going to sit here and go, but Father, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to go walk up to Calvary. You say, you know, Father, this scares me, but nevertheless, not my will, your will. Because I know that your will beats mine all to pieces. And if I'm doing what you sent me to do, it's going to accomplish more than I'll ever be able to do. Right? And that's why it is. So now you see in all that, you're saying, well, Brother Tony, you're just talking about, well, we are sheep. And sheep have to be led. And when we come to a mindset where we think, well, I don't need leadership. I don't need tutorship. I don't need father. I don't need mother. I don't need God. You're way off the path. And the wolves are coming. See what I mean? And so, we want to honor our fathers in the natural. Absolutely. And I think it's more than just giving them a little present or more than giving them a card or more than visiting or something like that. But it's being mature. Growing into that image that you know that daddy is and that daddy wants you to be. And knowing that you're growing into that image that God wants you to be. So God bless you. We'll let the musicians come up. Amen. Your family unit is the most important unit. Amen. Please bow our hearts to Him. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what it means just to the natural, even though it's so commercialized and so limited. Lord, this world they really don't understand, but we're asking God that just through your word, we'd be able to look through these things and catch the full revelation and the full impact of what these things mean and what a relationship with you means as our Heavenly Father. I'm asking, Lord, that you just grant this to each one that's here. We know that each one of us, you don't have grandchildren, but you have children, and so we each one have that responsibility to have that relationship with you, that you would give a tutorship to us, Lord, through your word and through the message that has been given in this hour, even through our parents, through the ministry, through brothers and sisters, that we submit ourselves one to another and know that there's a life of God that moves among us, that keeps us in order and keeps us moving and progressing down the road where you want us to be. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you do for us and the blessings that you send our way and how you guide us and you help us and you protect us. Lord, you're worthy of all the praise and glory and honor that could ever be given. And so we just ask God that you would just help us as we go forward, that in our walk, not just our words, because we read in the scripture there was people who just honored you with their lips. And God, even just with our actions, not just our words, but our actions, not just our actions, but our thoughts. Lord, that we honor you. that everything that takes place in our life, Lord, it would be something that would be pleasing to you, and that it would be your character coming forth in us in a more perfect fashion. We love you, Lord. I ask for these blessings upon each one that's sitting here. Lord, that you'd bless them and touch every one of them. God, that they go forth in the strength that you have ordained in this hour. Realize, Lord, that one of these days we'll close the book, the Bible, for the last time, and we'll all assemble over there. And I'm trusting, Lord, that on that day, not one that's sitting here in this place will be lost. Lord, that you will just gather us all together in perfect unity. We love you, Lord, and just ask for your great Holy Spirit to continue to tour us, move us, and help us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's worship the Lord for a few minutes.
Amen.